It's time for the Farm Show with Dustin Hoffman.
Good morning. It's time for the Weekend Farm Show on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Coming up, we're going to go through our first section, the Week in Review. We'll be talking with Jalen Peating, a FarmWord cooperative, as we review yesterday's supply and demand report and grain stocks report, find out how that affected the markets and what he thinks is going to do to the markets here in the next couple days. We'll also talk in the second part of our hour with U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar. She sits on the Senate Ag Committee. Both of our now Minnesota senators sit on that committee. We'll be talking with her, and that'll be coming up in the second part of our Weekend Farm Show. So stay tuned here on KLGR. Welcome to the Weekend Farm Show on KLGR. I'm Farm Director Dustin Hoffman, and we start off our week in review. And everything was kind of on nails and pins and needles, or eggshells, whatever you want to call it, as we were waiting for yesterday's USDA supply and demand report and the ending stocks reports. And those came out yesterday at 11 o'clock, and not quite what people were expecting. And I'm being joined today by Jalen Peating. Of course, he's the host of the FarmWord Grain Market Analysis here on KLGR. How you doing, Jalen?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well, Dustin. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. So yesterday's report, had some surprises, but not quite the surprises everybody was kind of expecting, were they?
Yeah. No, there's you get these reports with all sorts of information. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces going on at one time, and there seems to be a surprise or two somewhere. But yeah, you had your big yield surprises, and then probably the acreage surprises there on corn and winter wheat as well kind of threw the market for a little bit of a loop, but could have been a lot worse, that's for sure.
Well, and I was telling you before we started doing this recording here that, I was getting ready to do the markets at 11:30, and because things hadn't reacted quite yet when I did the 11:05s, and getting ready to do the recording for 11:30, and I didn't want to click over on those markets because I thought, oh, beans are going to go, they're going to bottom out, it's just going to be bad. And I went and clicked over, and beans were in the black, and wheat was tumbling like it had a lead stone attached to its ankles. What was going on?
Yeah, you definitely didn't want to be long the wheat market, I guess, before this report, and that was coming straight down the line from the one piece of the report that wheat was really hanging on was winter wheat seedings. Their projected planted acres here for this winter season, and came in 1.5 million acres higher than the average trade guess, so that threw them for a loop a little bit. And what that does, maybe it. When wheat plummets like that, it pressures corn. Corn and wheat are substitutes, follow each other to a point. So, corn felt a little pressured as well. But maybe what you have from that on the flip side is less bean acres, less overall corn and bean acres going into this spring, but especially less bean acres. And you maybe saw a little positive reaction from beans there as well. So that was the big thing on the wheat side that kind of spurred the rest of it. And then on the yield side, huge corn yields, 176.6 bushels. It's just amazing, report after report. We keep getting bigger, and it's amazing to think that we're growing that year after year now.
And they said, according to the USDA, I heard a report yesterday, their radio service sent it out, saying that there was record yields in 16 states, but yet not everywhere, but yet just enough to push everything higher than what was expected.
Yeah, I think definitely the big swings this time around from the November report when they updated it last on the corn side, like Minnesota, new record yield of 194 bushels per acre for the entire state. That's a big number for us here, and our last record was last year at 193, but then probably the biggest piece then, too, is you have a state like Illinois, your number two corn producer, usually 201 bushels per acre, up 4 from last month. And that's a new record as well in Illinois. Iowa came in at 202 bushels state average. So you're talking over 200 bushel state averages in the top two states in the nation. And, all that's going to come down to is a huge corn yield either way. So
looking at beans, we were talking for a week and a half, week 10 days, the last two reports that we did, we're expecting beans to carry over and have huge stocks left over. And the estimates were going to come in higher than what was actually forecasted earlier in the year. And it turns out the opposite was true. Do you have any word as to what happened there?
Yeah, on beans, your main thing there is they're expecting average trade guess about 49.5 bushels per acre for yield on beans, and USDA pegged them at 49.1. So we did see, you know, 0.4 of a bushel yield reduction, which definitely helps causes, and that came. If you look at a yield map, it's pretty amazing. The decreases came straight across the Midwest and a lot of your key states, and then a lot of your fringe states down in the southeastern part of the U.S. Saw big increases in bean yield. So Minnesota, for example, was down 5 bushels an acre this time around. Iowa down 3.5, Illinois down 1. So, you know, that all adds up to a little bit fractionally lower bean yield. They did trim exports down 65 million bushels going forward for this next year, so that's significant. But the yield reduction kind of evens things out. Ending stocks did go up a little bit to 470 million bushels for the 17-18 growing season, but, you know, without the yield reduction, it could have been a lot worse, that's for sure.
So now looking forward, we saw obviously Friday the markets reacted accordingly, and we kind of expected they would. How long into the future do you think this will affect markets?
This definitely, you know, trading just on this report alone usually, you know, is over within a day or two. But what you start seeing, the aftermath of this report is, for example, beans posted an outside day, key reversal higher today. So it changes the technical structure, you know, on the charts. If we get a confirmation higher to start next week on Tuesday, remember, no markets on Monday. But if Tuesday is higher in beans as well, if we see a little follow-through buying, maybe you spur the funds to get out of their short position. That carries over to corn. You know, we'll have to see on that going next week. And I think, too, how corn reacts to that huge yield, big ending stocks, and a negative wheat number. Unless beans can break out, you know, they're going to need to, on March beans, for example, we're going to need to break out of the 977 area on March beans. We're about 17 cents away from that. If beans can break out of that, they're going to drag corn along with them. You know, they're not going to go by themselves. But if they can't, those big corn numbers just bode to a little more sideways trade and a little more boring action here until we get into our planting season, unless something comes out of South America in the next month or so.
Now, I hate to put you on the spot, but I need you to go into your crystal ball just a little bit for the next week. On Friday afternoon, word started coming through the Ag News wires a little bit that Canada, one of their top officials, telling Reuters that they fully expect that President Trump is bluffing and that we'll pull out of NAFTA. And Mexico has said if we pull out, there's no negotiations after that. It's done. What kind of things could that do to affect the market in the next week if those rumors are out there? Because I know the market likes to trade on rumors once in a while.
They sure do. That would be a big one for sure. I think that's the, you know, every year we talk about a black swan event or something that could, you know, something you don't plan on that could get the market running one way or the other. And I think whether it's true or not, if you hear any type of significant rumor like that come to light, I think you're going to get a market reaction. And it would be initially a pretty negative, especially for corn, I think, on that side, if we truly would cut off the NAFTA talks and pull out of that. Mexico's, you know, a gigantic buyer of corn, and to, you know, put that trade up in the air, give them options to go to Brazil or Argentina to source their corn. The corn market, I would almost certainly react negatively. So that's just something to think about. There is risk there involved in those kind of talks. So.
All right. Well, Jalen, I thank you very much for taking the time to visit with us here this weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Thursday on the Gray Market Analysis.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Jalen Petig here on the Week in Review on the Weekend Farm Show. We'll be back with Senator Amy Klobuchar on the Senate Ag Department, Ag Committee, I should say. We'll be talking with her coming up right after we hear from our sponsor, Farm Word Cooperative, Advancing Farming for Generations.